الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So inshallah, I won't take very long this afternoon, but basically I wanted to share with you something that I noticed during my travels abroad. I spent some time traveling abroad in between my medical school, and the purpose of traveling abroad was to study a little bit of the deen. I don't necessarily feel that I completed any studies of the deen, but I did have the opportunity to sit with people who studied the deen. One of the things that I mean, there's a lot that you learn when you travel, and there, from the experience of travel, there's a tremendous amount that a person can gain. One of the things that I witnessed was somewhat ironic in that, in one way, it was very encouraging, but in the other way, it was very depressing. And that was the state of children in the Middle East as well as in the subcontinent. So I actually had the opportunity to study in Damascus for a period of time, and I also had the opportunity to study in Pakistan for a period of time. And looking at the state of the children was an eye-opener. Now, when I say the state of the children, I don't mean the state of the 5 or 10% of the people who had a tremendous amount of wealth. I just mean the state of the common child. So one thing that you would notice is that, for example, when I would pull my car up into the auto shop, the first person to come and start working on my car would be a 9-year-old, 10-year-old boy. Literally, you'd have 9 or 10-year-old boys changing people's oil, or even working on a car, or doing hard labor, or carrying a load. And this was sort of the dominant theme that I saw with the youth, both in the Middle East, in the limited places I was able to go, as well as in the subcontinent. And in one way, this was really discouraging, because I started thinking, wow, look at this 7-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old boy. Sometimes you'd see a 7-year-old girl, she'd be the one caring for her 2-year-old sister, because they didn't have any parents. Or sometimes you'd see someone, you know, 13, 14-year-old child taking care of the entire family because they didn't have parents. And so the first thing that would hit me was, wow, look how unfortunate. You know, you look at these children and you think about our children. So now we're discussing building a $4 million, I just happen to sit here, right? We're discussing building a $4 million building for our children. And the vast majority of children don't have that opportunity at all. You know, they don't get that opportunity to be educated. And often we don't take advantage of it. But that was one thing that kind of hurt me. And then I would look at those children and I would say, SubhanAllah, these children don't have the same opportunity that we do. But at the same time, it was a bit of an eye-opener in that it showed me something that sometimes we don't reflect on, especially when we're in the West. And that is that children have the ability to carry responsibility. Often we pamper our children, and actually this talk was supposed to be for children, but there's more adults than there are children, so I'll just address it to the adults. Often we pamper our children thinking that they're not able to carry responsibility. But actually, children are able to carry responsibility. And children have played an essential role in history in establishing, for example, the deen, because of the fact that they were able to carry responsibility. And so while I was able to see that these young children were unfortunately being forced into labor at such a young age, and it was unfortunate from one aspect, it was an eye-opener in that it showed me that children are able to carry responsibility. Often we pamper ourselves, we pamper our children all the way up until they're 17, 18, 19, even 20, 22 years old, thinking they don't have to carry any responsibility, and even in the deen we'll take away responsibility from them. I can't tell you the number of parents that, or the number of children that come to me who are 16 or 17 and say, my parents said I shouldn't fast today because I have to take a test. I mean, since when does a child not have to fast? That's not a child anymore, that's an adult according to the Sharia. So since when is an adult exempted from fasting because they have to take an exam? The whole point of fasting is that you fast and you carry on with what your life brings to you. Anyway, That's the key issue that I wanted to share. And that is that our children are able to carry responsibility, and if you're a child, we should begin to wake up and carry some responsibility. And if we're an adult, we should begin to recognize that perhaps our children do need to carry some responsibility. One of the greatest examples of this is the example of the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, you know that the famous daughter of the Prophet alaihi salam was Fatima radiallahu anha. But there are some aspects of her life that you go through, and subhanAllah, they open up our eyes to what a child can be. Right? Every child is not necessarily going to be like this, and that's obvious, but it shows you what a child can be, what a child can do. Now, Fatima radiallahu anha, she was the fifth child of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, she was the fifth child of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. So you can see that she had an excellent, obviously, the best of fathers, and she had an excellent mother. Now, she was born at a time when her father was spending a tremendous amount of his effort in seclusion and spiritual reflection. So we all know from the famous hadith that the Prophet alayhi salam, at one period in his life, he used to retreat to a cave, and he would spend days and days in that cave reflecting on creation, its reality, his creator, the purpose of creation, etc., etc., etc. So Fatima radiallahu anha, she was born in this backdrop. She had a father who was reflecting in this way at the time of her birth. Now, she initially, when she was a child, she sought comfort in her family. And her family was basically her mother, who was herself an exemplary woman, of house servant whose name was Baraka. And Baraka was the house servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout much of his childhood. And then she had a brother-like figure, who was Hazrat Ali radiallahu an, who actually was in the home of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Really, that was her cousin, but he was a brother-like figure because he was just 2 years older than her, and he used to interact with her in this young age. And then she had a bunch of sisters, and you know that she actually had four sisters, and she was the fourth of four sisters. And basically, she would be interacting with her sisters, and this was the place where she was nourished. Now, you know, for a child, what you provide for them at a young age is essential for their development. So look at the circumstances in which she's spending time. She's spending time with a father who's basically a prophet. She's spending time with a mother who is one of the perfect women ever created. The Prophet alayhi salam, he listed four women, three in one hadith and three in another, and there's one that's overlapping. So in all, four women that were created perfectly, right? And one of them was Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. So that was her mother. And then she interacted with this close-knit family, and this was basically how she spent her childhood. Now over time, the sisters were married off. So one by one, she began to see that her sisters were actually married away, and that was one of the major changes that occurred in her life. When she was 5 years old, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received his first revelation. Now when he received his first revelation, obviously that was a moment that changed not only their family life, but that was a moment that changed all of history.